Welcome once again to our show. This is Christian Answers, and I'm Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers. I want to thank you for being with us again. We've been doing this show now for close to two decades, and if you're familiar with our show, we do a lot of comparative religion shows, Bible analysis shows, biblical exposition, things of this nature. And today, we're going to continue in a series we're doing called Unpopular Bible Doctrines. This is going to be show number two in that series. And I guess one reason we're doing this is, and it was interesting to me, the show number one, Unpopular Bible Doctrines, was so popular. And I got so many calls and requests for copies of a transcript of it, video copies of it, stuff like this. I thought, wow, you know, just like the movie makers in Hollywood make a sequel. Well, let's make a sequel of this. So this is it. Unpopular Bible Doctrines, number two. And joining me on this show is my longtime friend, good brother in the Lord, Bob L. Ross, director of Pilgrim Publications in Pasadena, Texas. Bob, it's great to have you here, brother.
Glad to be back, Larry.
Yes. And Bob, of course, runs the Pilgrim Bookstore in Pasadena, Texas, and is probably one of the world's leading publishers of the works of the late, great Charles Haddon Spurgeon, one of the prince of preachers from the 19th century. And Bob, just as a quick introduction before we get into this show, Unpopular Bible Doctrines number two, I'd like you to kind of familiarize our viewing audience with C.H. Spurgeon and some of his works. I see you have one of his books right there.
Well, this volume, Larry, is the final volume in the 63-volume set of Spurgeon's sermons, Metropolitan Tabernacle Pulpit. There's over 3,500 sermons in that. It's the longest series of sermons published by one man in the history of Christianity. And I don't want to spend too much of our time about Spurgeon, but let me just give one illustration of how far ahead of the time Spurgeon was. This is the Prayer of Jabez by Spurgeon. This was published first in 1871. I got a call from the company who published the book Prayer of Jabez by Bruce Wilkinson. They seemed to think that maybe we were using a title that they had trademarked for marketing and maybe perhaps had infringed upon their rights. And I said Spurgeon had used this for a sermon title before Mr. Wilkinson's mother was born, 1871. So Spurgeon was way ahead of his time. He used the symbol, for example, or the words, acronym WWJD, back in the 1800s. And he was one who expressed the footprints idea that out of which, I think, grew the footprints poem. But Spurgeon was well ahead of his time in the innovations that he made. So anyway, we're happy to be working with republishing his works, which we've been doing, as you well know, since 1969, and helping to acquaint the world with the truth of the Lord, the Word of God, the Gospel, by utilizing the great sermons that Spurgeon preached. I'm glad to be back with you again.
Yeah, it's great to have you here, Brother Bob. Bob's written many books, too, particularly some excellent reference material on the historical roots of the Church of Christ, the ideas of baptismal regeneration, things of this nature. So Bob has, he's an author in his own right, but the publishing of the works of C.H. Spurgeon is, of course, his forte. And, of course, I've done more shows than I can count with Bob over the years, so it's great to have Brother Bob back here to join me in this series of programs. Now, if you, I have to assume our viewers did not see Unpopular Bible Doctrines number one. And so as a quick reminder to our viewers, those who saw it and those who did not, I'll just recap a little bit about what Unpopular Bible Doctrines show number one was about. And then we'll move into some new Unpopular Bible Doctrines and just roll along in this series with that. Now, as you can see on your screen, the viewing audience, this is just a recap of what we covered already in detail in show number one. So if you're interested in these particular doctrines and getting an exposition of them, contact our ministry for that show. But anyway, as you can see, one of the number one unpopular Bible doctrine is God is jealous. The God of the Bible is jealous. And your references there are Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 and following. You have Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. You have Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 16 through 17. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2. Exodus chapter 34, verses 14 through 17. It's also Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So God is jealous. That's not very popular with a lot of people who want to think, well, God just doesn't matter what religion you have or what you believe. It doesn't matter to God. Well, it does matter to God because he is jealous and he doesn't want you worshiping anybody but him. But anyway, that's one reason it's so unpopular. Second unpopular doctrine is God is not the father of everyone. And as you can see there by the chart, you find that there Jesus said that himself in John chapter 8, verses 41 through 44. Also, you find in Psalm 96, verses 5 and following, you find that, yes, God is the creator of men, but that does not mean in the spiritual sense that God is the father of all men. John chapter 8, verses 41 through 44. Jesus speaking, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. For indeed we know from what Jesus said when he was talking to some of the greatest religious leaders in Israel at the time, the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, they were saying that God was their father, but Jesus said, no, if God were your father, you'd believe me. But that's not the case. The father is, your father is the devil. And that's because you don't believe me. And if you don't believe it, just read John chapter 8 as you see the reference there. Another unpopular doctrine. God does not, and this may be the overall number one unpopular doctrine of all. And this shocks a lot of people and they just can't believe it and it's hard for them to believe it. But as you can see right there in the chart, God does not love everybody. And as we went into great detail in show number one, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8, Romans chapter 9, verses 11 through 13, you find that Jacob, God loved, but Esau, he hated. You see in Psalm 11, verses 5 through 6, also Psalm 5, verses 5 through 6, you find there God hates the workers of iniquity. Psalm 11, 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. And we went into great detail on that. And so we find out that God's love does not extend to every last man, woman, and child. And certainly not the people like, let's say, Hitler, Judas, and so forth, as we already went into detail. Next, God has an anger and a fury. There's more verses than I can name, but just for brevity here, not to spend the whole show recapping show number one, but you can see there just from Isaiah, verse 60 or chapter 63, verses 3 and following, it talks about God's anger and fury. And as you look through those Old Testament references, you find over and over again, God gets furious with the Israelites. He sends serpents to kill off a lot of them in some instances. You find where Korah is swallowed up. The earth opens and Korah and all his followers are swallowed up in anger of God. So anyway, that goes without saying. It's all over the place. Isaiah 63, verses 3 through 4 and verse 6. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. This is God speaking. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. The unpopular doctrine of hell. And there's plenty of references here, as you can see on your screen. And most people are aware of this doctrine. Matthew 25, verses 41 and 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Mark chapter 9, verse 43. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. The unpopular doctrine of predestination, such as found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and following. And what ties into this, of course, is the sovereignty of God. Places like Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 through 36. Lamentations chapter 3 and so forth. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We find another unpopular doctrine. God sends evil spirits to men, as you find in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 16, verses 23 and following, and so forth. And you can cross-reference that to 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 20 through 23, and also 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. So we find that God himself will send an evil spirit to deceive people, lead them astray, or have them follow falsehoods where they're destroyed, such as the evil spirit sent by God to basically mess up King Saul. You find where God had an evil spirit speaking of prophets of King Ahab, so he'd go to Ramoth-Gilead and be destroyed, and so forth. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 15. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Another unpopular doctrine. Jesus spoke in parables so people would not repent and would not be forgiven. And you have to wonder about this. Why would Jesus come and talk in parables so they wouldn't repent of their sins and so they wouldn't be forgiven? We find that in Mark chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Right there, Jesus gives you the reason he's always talking in parables. Now, this ties into these other unpopular doctrines. That would suddenly make sense if these other doctrines we just mentioned are true. Mark chapter 4, verses 11 through 12. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Okay, another very unpopular doctrine is that God is holy. Unholy men and sinners, of which all of us are, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, do not like the idea of a holy God. Because we are unholy ourselves and we are sinners, A holy God means trouble for us. That means that we are not going to meet his requirements. And we find that in places like Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, and many other places. God is holy, and that's very unpopular with fallen man, sinful man. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, "And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Another unpopular doctrine is Jesus was rude and judgmental. And you find that in the whole chapter of Matthew 23, where he's blasting the scribes and Pharisees, calling them whitewashed sepulchers. And who warned you to flee from from hell and all these types of things. We already mentioned John chapter 8, verse 44. Also, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, where Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but a sword, and he's going to set members of their own family against each other. You find that he actually made a whip to run the money changers out of the temple, not once, but twice. So, you know, people want this meek and mild Jesus that would never hurt a flea, but, you know, when we look in the Bible, we don't find that. We find a strong and very outspoken Jesus who is very judgmental and condemning of people's actions and what they think of God. Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 13. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Another unpopular doctrine: Christians are to rebuke and correct people when they're wrong about the nature of God and God's doctrines, his biblical doctrines. And you find that in Titus chapter 1, verse 9, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 9, and also 13 through 15, just as additional references there. Revelation 2:2. "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars." We find that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That is very unpopular. According to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There's no other name given under heaven by which we may be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we're saved." Jesus said the same himself in John 14, 6, and also Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Jesus is the only way to heaven, and of course that goes against what Muslims say, what Hindus say, and other very many religions. John 14:6, "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We also find that Jesus is God Almighty. That's very unpopular. Many people think Jesus is just a good man. He was a good prophet, but he's certainly not God in the flesh. But that begs to differ with John chapter 20, verse 28, Romans chapter 9, verse 5, John 1:1, and verse 14, and so forth. So over and over again, the scripture says that Jesus is God Almighty. And if you're going to worship God, you must understand that this God of the universe is Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, which is very unpopular. Romans 9:5, "Whose are the fathers? And of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is, over all, God, blessed forever. Amen." Also, another unpopular doctrine that we mentioned last time, there is only one true religion. And that's very unpopular. The only true religion, then, is New Testament Christianity, with its emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. You must believe this gospel and in the true and living Lord Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done through his death and resurrection for you, in order to be saved. If you believe anything outside of that, if you believe false doctrines, other religions, you're lost. You're going to be condemned to this other unpopular doctrine of hell. And that's in Galatians chapter 1 is one of your main references. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and following. And Paul makes his case twice right there. He repeats himself just to emphasize it. Galatians chapter 1, verses 7b through verse 9. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. And finally, in the last show, God's Word, the Bible, is the truth. You find that in such places as Psalm 138, verse 2b, where God sets His Word above all His name. As you find it in the King James Version, for instance. And in many other places, you find that God's Word is given for rebuke, correction, that the man of God may be perfect, that mentioned in Timothy and so forth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So in show number one, we covered and spent the whole hour going into detail on just those unpopular doctrines alone. So already you're seeing how this really cuts against the grain of a lot of people's theology. And I'm not just talking about world religions, Bob, like you'd have the Muslims, you'd have the Hindus, you'd have all these other religious groups out there, the Buddhists, for instance, and things. They wouldn't buy into most of this stuff anyway because their religions are totally different. They really relegate Jesus to almost nothing in contrast. But if these biblical doctrines, these unpopular doctrines are true, well, that puts them in a fix. And they know it, and that's why it's unpopular with them. But then at the same time, and I'd like you to comment on this, we're looking at all these so-called Christian groups within Orthodox Christianity, let's say. You can have your Presbyterians, your Baptists, your Methodists, Disciples of Christ, whatever you have there, along with pseudo-Christian cults like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Unification Church people like Moody's, so Unity School of Christianity. Well, all of them have some kind of lip service to the Bible, but I would dare to say that a lot of these groups would not buy almost any of these doctrines I just reviewed. Any comments?
Well, that's true, Larry. Christianity actually has a very simple message. You said a while ago concerning the way of salvation, there's only one way. Now, that's very simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
John 14:6.
And actually, the message is very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Acts 16:31.
But you see, the difficulty comes in when people are not willing to accept the simplicity of the message of Christ, of the message of the Bible, the message of the apostles. They want to build fences and make it more difficult for people to become Christians and follow Christ. Jesus said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. He that believes on the Son is not condemned. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. That's very simple. That's very clear. It doesn't require a genius to figure that out. You don't have to have a college education. You don't have to have a high school education. You don't have to have a grammar school education. You could be almost half a fool and still not miss the simple plan of salvation where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on me, and you'll be saved. You'll have everlasting life. But that's where the problem comes in with a lot of people who want to add to the message of the Son of God. They want to add ceremonies. They want to add sacraments. They want to add their particular brand of church identity. And they want all these other additional things that you must comply with. Otherwise, they think you'll be lost. Well, actually, we're not the ones then that shut out these others who want to add things. They shut themselves out by adding something to their backpack, which makes it impossible for them to come in at the straight gate. They've got too much luggage on their backs to get into the door. So you're exactly right, Larry. These other religions, and even though they are Christian sects as such, professing the name of Christ, many of them put themselves, you might say, in jeopardy of being false prophets themselves, although they're professing Christians, because they want to add to the simple message, the exclusive message of the Lord Jesus on salvation.
That's right. In fact, this reminds me of one time, it must have been 20 years ago, that I was debating in my living room some Mormon missionaries that had come to visit me. And I asked the Mormon missionaries, as they were trying to get me to join their church, and like this is going to lead to some greater avenue to God. And I said, well, what if I'm stranded on a desert island by myself, and all I've got is a Bible on that, would that be good enough to get me to heaven? Let's say I don't have a Book of Mormon like these Mormon missionaries have. What if I'm stuck on this desert island, shipwrecked, and I'm on this island, I just got a Bible. Can I make it to heaven with that Bible? And those Mormon missionaries, they were a couple of 19-year-old kids, you know, and they kind of looked at each other like they'd never heard this before, but then they thought about it and they said, well, no, you know, that wouldn't be enough. You'd need a little bit more. It goes back to what you were just saying. You know, so I would be lost and turned away from God because all I had was a Bible, the Old Testament, New Testament. And that wouldn't be good enough. It wouldn't be good enough to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on His substitutionary atonement for my sins by His atoning death on the cross, by His shed blood, and believing and having trust in that would not be good enough. I would have to do something more than that. And I said, what would that be? And they go, oh, well, you'd need, before they could say anything, I say, a Book of Mormon. Is that right? I would need a Book of Mormon. So I would need the Bible and a Book of Mormon. And then they look at each other again like they'd never heard that before. And then they go, well, the problem is, and then before they could say anything, I go, oh, you mean if I had a Bible and a Book of Mormon, it still wouldn't be enough? And they go, well, that's right. You need the Doctrine and Covenants. You need the Pearl of Great Price. You got all these other religious books also. And, of course, you need the Living Prophet.
You need baptism.
You need the Living Prophet for the day. And make sure you don't drink coffee and tea. And anyway, it just really proved the point. And, of course, I can prove all this because I audio taped the whole conversation. I've got it all on tape. You wouldn't get that through our ministry. But you see the point. It backs up what you were just saying.
I have a similar illustration, not exactly on that order, but a man came to my bookstore, and we have gospel tracts. And he brought up one of the little tracts in there on the way of salvation. And he said, I notice you have this tract on the way of salvation, but you have nothing on it about baptism. And I took the tract and I looked at it. I said, praise the Lord. He said, what? What? You're put in the way of salvation and you have nothing here about baptism? I said, that's right, because you have to be saved before you're qualified to be baptized. Larry, he wound up, he in effect issued a challenge of me to meet him in a public debate, but when I accepted him, he began to have second thoughts, and it's never transpired.
Right.
But at any rate, all these things, they are additives. They want to add to their periphery necessities. They're like condiments to a meal. You couldn't have the meal without the condiments, you see. And so that is what a lot of people fail to realize about Christianity, is that whereas it is narrow. It's not because that it narrows itself down, making you something special as such, but it's narrow because people want to add to it. And the Lord will not allow that. I mean, he said, a man that won't come in by the door, if he wants to climb up another way, he's a thief and a robber.
Right.
He robs God of the glory, because Jesus doesn't get all the glory when you add something to his work for salvation.
That's right. In fact, I wasn't originally planning to put this unpopular doctrine in here, but I just thought of it. There's so many unpopular doctrines in the Bible. They're just everywhere. But I'm going to add this into this particular show. We've got a whole giant list here, but for this series. But you kind of made me think of it, and I want to bring this up. The viewers at home can see Matthew chapter 7. And you've already mentioned it yourself about the gate. And in verse 13, Jesus says, and I'm reading from a King James version, it says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And then he immediately talks about, in verse 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing." In other words, they look like they're Christians, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And then he goes on to talk about corrupt fruit and all these things, and how you'll know people by their fruits and so forth. But the unpopular doctrine, and that's unpopular in itself, but the real key here is verse 21 and following. Look there with me at home on the screen. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" You can also cross-reference that to Philippians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18, and Galatians 2, 4. But anyway, and then he goes on to say in verse 23, and this is really unpopular, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You can also cross-reference that to Luke 13, verses 24 through 30, and so forth. Look what we've got here. We have got a very unpopular doctrine. We have emphasis, Bob, and we all know about Jesus saying, "Truly, truly, I say to you, amen, amen, I say to you." In the Hebrew culture, when you repeated something twice, it's like, stop the show. You better hear what I'm saying next. It's to really put some emphasis on it. What we have here in this unpopular doctrine is Jesus saying, here's these people that say, "Lord, Lord." So now we've got people that are really big time on claiming their Christianity. They're claiming to be, "I'm the best. I do all these things. I'm really into Christianity." But what is he going to do with even these types of people at the end? He's going to reject them. Now, what do you say about that?
Well, the very startling thing about this text, Larry, is that these appear to be ministers, preachers, doctors of religion, Christian religion, because they say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name we've cast out devils. In thy name we've done many wonderful works." Now, this is not a foreign religion.
It's not like Hinduism or Islam. We're talking about people that claim to be Christians.
This is not a non-Christian religion, professedly. This is a professing Christian religion, because they're casting out demons in his name, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing many wonderful works in his name, supposedly. Now, who are these? Well, only the Lord knows who they are, but just let me remind you of the fact that those who are least preaching the gospel, if I can use that grammar, those who are really not engaged primarily, first and foremost, in preaching the gospel, there are those who are engaged in miracles, mighty works, casting out demons, doing many wonderful works. I would be suspicious of those people who are magnifying these wonderful works that are designed to impress, that are designed to embellish, that are designed to get a response from people, oh, this is such a great work. This is such a marvelous man. He's a man of God. They're drawing attention to themselves by these many wonderful works that they're professing to do. And that's who the Lord is talking about here. Now, I don't know how he will apply this when it comes to this particular category of judgment. I never knew you, depart from me. But I'm just always leery of these people that come professing many wonderful works, casting out demons, saying, Lord, Lord.
Reminds me of a lot of TV preachers.
And the sad thing about it, though, is not so much that. The real sad thing about it is this is camouflaging, covering up and disposing of the gospel, the one message of salvation.
Right.
It gets away from that. It diverts from that.
Now, you see how unpopular this can be, because now what we're seeing is Jesus already said there's going to be few that make it. And then, to even narrow it down more, here we're not talking about all the pagans and the heathen out there that don't even claim to be Christians. We're talking about these guys that really claim to be Christians,
right.
And a lot of them aren't going to make it.
Right.
So now your numbers are really getting few. The few, when Jesus says F-E-W, he's not kidding around, because you already know the heathen and the pagans aren't going to make it.
Well, we don't want to be suspected of being as guilty as the old, I think it was the Mennonite or someone like that, who said to his wife, sometimes I think that me and thee are the only ones saved, and sometimes I have my doubts about thee. We don't want to get that extreme. But
Amen.
The point is, we're trying to emphasize the narrowness of the message, that if wide enough, for the whole world could come through if they would simply come through the narrow gate. I mean, it's like a giant funnel that comes down to the bottom, and if you will get inside that and come on down through that narrow funnel, you will go through. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if you're going to create all these other ways, then you're narrowing it down, and few there be that find it. And so we don't want to think Larry and I are the only ones that believe this, or that we're the only one that's saved, or something of that sort. We're not. We're simply saying that if you add to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going through the straight gate. It's a narrow gate. It's a one message. I am the way gate. It's an I. You see how narrow the I is? Is it true that I is the most narrow of the letters we have in the alphabet? It's not a big O. It's not the big O. It's the I, and it's the Jesus that's the I. I am the way. And if you'll come that way, you'll have no problems. You don't have to be a Baptist. You don't have to be a Larry Wessels follower or a Bob Ross follower. You don't have to be a particular religious sect or group or identity. Just follow Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. And that knocks in the head all these other false doctrines, false religions, which want to divert you here, there, and yon, and in every direction but the right direction.
All right. And really, when you think about everything that we've been talking about, it can only make sense with these unpopular doctrines we're talking about. These unpopular doctrines have to be true for everything to come down to that narrow gate you're talking about, Jesus being the only way. I mean, it has to be these unpopular doctrines being biblically true for that even to be correct. So, with that, I want to go to some new unpopular doctrines. They're not really new. They're as old as the Word of God, but they're new to most people because, like I said in show number one, a lot of people out there will never hear these doctrines because the preachers are too afraid to preach it, or either they're hirelings like Jesus talked about. And when the wolf comes, they're not going to fight. They're going to run away. But we always believe in just standing up for the Word of God, preaching that Word of God, and letting the Holy Spirit do His work through the Word. And as you can see on your screen, we have another unpopular doctrine. You can see it right there. God loves judgment. And there's your biblical references for them. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 8. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 through 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 29 through 31. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, Bob, God loves judgment. What do you have to say about all this?
Well, judgment implies the upholding of righteousness, the upholding of that which is just, holy, and good. And I believe that it's ingrained in the human nature of all men to desire justice and judgment and righteousness. And when that is not done, then what happens in the world is iniquity reigns, evil men reign, and all manner of evil, we become, you might say, victims of all manner of evil and evil men. When judgment and judgment does not reign. And when crimes are committed, there is something about us that cries out for judgment. And if men in positions of power don't give it to us, we cry out to God, Oh God, how long? How long can this get away with not being judged and not being tried and convicted for its crime? How long are we going to wait until there is justice? And once judgment has come, we are pleased, we're happy. There is what some like to call a closing of this, and that we're grateful to God for what has been done. And when we look back on some of the great events in history that have been judgments of God, like the closing of World War II, and you might say the judgment of God being brought upon the evil axis of the world at that time because of their many transgressions. There was a great satisfaction and a sense of accomplishment that we had because of that. And so God loves judgment.
And this goes back to His holiness.
Right.
The nature of God Himself is holy and righteous.
We could question the very existence of God if there was no judgment and no justice brought to pass in this world. If men do not reap what they sow, then this almost says there is no God. There is no ultimate person who stands guard over the justice of mankind in its relation with one another. So God loves judgment.
Right. Now, our next doctrine ties right into that. As you can see at home on the screen, some people will never receive forgiveness from God. And there's all your references.
Matthew 12, verses 31 through 32. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. John chapter 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that being Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jude 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
What do you have to say about that, Bob?
Well, there is a statement that we will not have this man to rule over us. There is the example of the demons when Jesus confronted them in the Gospels. They said, send us into that herd of swine. We'd rather be in those pigs and run over the bank here than have anything to do with you. So there is this spirit on the part of some men. They don't want God's forgiveness. It'd be an insult for them to think that they needed God's forgiveness. And how you entitle this particular unpopular doctrine there,
it kind of reminds what Jesus said in Matthew about those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit.
They will not receive it. They will not accept it. And, of course, God is not going to force it on them. Those whom God forgives, he makes willing to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. It's whosoever will may come. We know that God wills and works and brings us to a willing point. That we will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is a will that we have to come to me. And Jesus said to some, you will not come to me that you might have life. And so there is this non-receptiveness on their part. They will not receive forgiveness. And in effect, they will choose everlasting damnation rather than be in the presence of the Lord.
Men love darkness rather than the light.
Darkness rather than light.
All right. And let's see this next one here. It says, God hates religious doctrine that contradicts his word. And you can see all the references there. You even have references to doctrines of demons that Paul mentions in Timothy.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 6 and verses 14 through 16. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. 2 John verses 9 through 11. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 3, and Ezekiel 14, verse 10. Thus saith the Lord God, Woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing! And they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity, the punishment of the prophet, that being the false prophets, shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 19 through 20. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, and verse 10. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9. And honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
Well, we have all these people, obviously they're going to hate these unpopular doctrines, but that's part of that is because they just don't like what God has to say. and therefore, it's unpopular for them to think that God would hate them, their idea of not liking His Word. But that's really the case. God expects you to believe His Word.
You know, unfortunately, Larry, we have today some who actually teach against the teaching of Christian doctrine. They use the word doctrine in a bad sense. They imply that doctrine is something evil. Well, actually, doctrine is what is taught in the Bible, and the word doctrine appears frequently in the Bible, and we're to maintain sound doctrine, we're to proclaim sound doctrine, and people are to believe sound doctrine. But we have people today that want to downplay, deceive the naive public by implying that doctrine is something you don't want to get involved in. And so they're very much up in arms against the doctrines of the Bible because they want people to think to believe these doctrines is wrong. We just want the Holy Spirit. We just want some great spiritual experience. We just don't want some great blessing of this sort. Well, that's their doctrine. What they're teaching the people, in effect, is their doctrine. That you're not to believe doctrine is the doctrine they're teaching you. You say, doctrine is simply what you're taught and what you believe. And if it's not the doctrine of the Word of God, mm-hmm. Scripture says, be sound in the sound doctrine, accept the sound doctrine. Well, we unfortunately have a lot of people, and I could name some national television programs, where that they want to batter down doctrine because they want to play up their particular doctrine. Teaching. Right.
Right, their particular doctrine. All right. Now, with that, we're out of time. I'm going to have to close this show for the meantime, Bob, and we'll pick up on this series. This was Unpopular Bible Doctrines number 2. We have a lot more unpopular things to tell you about, so tune in next time for show number 3 in this series, where we'll give you plenty more that most of our viewers won't like. But anyway, in the meantime, if y'all are interested in, let me reach over here and grab it. We have newsletters available through Christian Answers on different subjects, topics, world religions, so forth. We have videotapes, DVDs, CDs, audio cassettes, tracks, and literature. Free upon request in a lot of cases.
Free copy of that Prayer of Jabez.
Yes, free copy of the Prayer of Jabez from Bob L. Ross's ministry, one of the world's leading publishers of the writings and works of C.H. Spurgeon.
1871.
This is before the...
Not the 2001 or whatever.
Right,
it was.
Right. So we have plenty of literature available through Pilgrim Publications, of which Bob is the director, and through Christian Answers. Just call or write. You'll see the numbers, websites, email, all that stuff at the end of the show. Well, thank you for joining us. Join us again next time when we continue in this very unpopular series that we're doing. Although what's interesting is it seems to be popular with a lot of people. So a popular, unpopular show, to state it. Well, anyway, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. And remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me, John 14:6. And let me tell you, that's very unpopular. All right, God bless you. Thank you, Bob, for being with us.
Glad to be here.
We'll see you next time. You too. God bless.
A truth that becomes evident with Bible study. The more you learn and know about the biblical God, and you are not converted by His Spirit, the more your hatred of this God is made manifest. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord.
If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.